Hello, everyone. This is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Once again, I am joined by my esteemed colleagues who will introduce themselves now.
Hi, I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer.
And I'm Danielle Cormier, and I am a social media specialist.
I'm Josh Mendelson, and I work in product marketing on social media stuff.
I'm Dave Gerhardt. I work on the marketing communications team.
So thanks for joining us today. One of the things we wanted to speak about today is start with a news item. And the big news today, we're talking about Facebook offers. I don't know if you've heard about these yet, but now Facebook is allowing people the ability, or pages the ability, to create free offers that will show up in people's news feeds that they can then redeem and bring into the store to take up the offer. What do we think about this, guys?
Well, I think there's some good and some bad here, right? So I think the good thing with Facebook offers is it's very clean, it's very simple. You know, you post, you can create an offer and do it just like you would a status update. It's so for people who already have a built-in audience and want to just drive traffic into their store, I think it's awesome. The problem with it is there's no tracking and there's no ability to you're not getting anything in return. You're delivering something of value and you're not getting anything back. So with other products, when you're providing someone with a discount on what you offer, you're getting their email address, you're getting them to like your page. Mm-hmm. I think that's better for the long-term relationship that businesses have with their audience, instead of just like, you know, Facebook offers isn't that much different than putting a coupon in a newspaper and sending it out to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just like anything that we always talk about. It really depends on what your goals are. If you have 100 fans, it doesn't really make a ton of sense for you to run, you know, a coupon, especially when you consider that only 16% of your fans are going to probably see your post anyway. Mm-hmm. But it could be, if you have a, you know, highly engaged network, it could be a great way to get people into your store, because you're not offering them a deal. You're not offering a big discount. You're just offering them a tiny coupon, whether it's a free dessert or a free cup of coffee or something like that. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for businesses to get people into the store, but then just like anything else, it's about what you do with them when they're in there. So it's a great opportunity to drive some traffic, but, you know, it's a great, you know, that you got to capitalize on that somehow.
Yeah, that probably sounds like really the big issue, right, is that, you know, it's only telling half the story. Getting people to redeem the offer is great, but it's really about driving repeat business, and so you need to make sure that you're picking up the slack where Facebook offers is maybe not providing you with that information. Like, make sure you get an email address when they come into the store. Find some way that you can keep in touch with those customers. Anything else?
Well, I personally love coupons, but I think the danger with coupons is if you offer too many of them, people start to expect you to do that. That's the only way they're going to interact with you, is if you give them something. Mm-hmm. And that's not building loyalty. It's building loyalty to a coupon and not to the business. And I myself, I bought some daily deals for things like manicure, pedicure. I'm also a sucker for those when those come through. But the one place I bought two Groupons for, I haven't really gone back unless I see a Groupon for them. I'm really not attached to the business. They didn't do anything out of the ordinary special. It's the same cost as other places unless you get that Groupon.
But if they did, they don't. But if they did follow up with you, you might be more. If you got a follow-up email or some type of communication,
I got no communication from them.
Yeah.
So it sounds, you know, it feels like in a lot of cases, sort of, it falls down on both ends, right? You're not going out of your way to revisit, and the business isn't doing anything to drive that traffic.
Yeah.
So there's Facebook offers, which had news this week, but there's also both Google and Foursquare are now similar products to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the Google one is really interesting to me because it's integrated with Google Maps, so you can search around where you are and see if anyone's offering a coupon.
Is it going to be integrated with an app?
It's part of Google Maps, I believe, with their app. Now, I was really interested in this, and then I read that Apple is phasing Google Maps out of the base package for the iPhone and the iPad.
That's interesting.
So that's really interesting, too. I think there's a lot of jockeying going around in this offer space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even the offers, it's very narrow, right? It's a coupon-based thing.
Yeah.
So what about every other kind of
business? Well, I think Google, I think the offers is a great way to think about offers is that it's not like a central marketing strategy, but it's kind of like a nice gentle nudge to try to get people into your store. And we always talk about providing a great experience and, you know, your customers, you know, they're open to communications from you as long as you provide them options to mm-hmm. do so and that type of stuff. So it's a great way to get people in there, especially if you think about a consumer. You know, you're just walking around downtown Boston, you pull up Google Maps and you happen to notice that I'm going to go get a coffee and the coffee shop, you know, a half mile up the road is offering, you know, some type of offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to get you in the store. But again, like we just talked about, it's all about what happens after that.
And it's also, I mean, I think it probably leads to another thing where there's, you know, it's kind of got a good thing on another level in terms of like if we look at like transient business, right? Let's say you're in a new area. And you're just traveling and you're passing by. It may not be some place that you frequent regularly, but it may be the deciding factor in whether or not you actually go to that place while you're in the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, so I think there's something to it on that level as well. But I think what we're hearing is that like the big thing is like what you do once you get, it's like almost like the offer is like a gateway drug to your location. You know, so like it's
first one's free. Then
yeah,
you
first
pay
one's
for
free.
It.
But it's really about what happens once you get those people in the store or to your location, to the restaurant, whatever it happens to be. And it's like Dave said, it boils down to that experience. Because if you provide them with, especially when it's a local situation, and you provide them with a great experience, that's what's going to get them to tell their friends about it. That's what's going to get them to come back. That's what's going to get them to want to continue to have a repeat relationship with you. And I think that's the most important thing.
And think about what you just said, you know, getting yourself into that new business. That's a great opportunity for them to ask for your email address,
yeah,
or to ask you to like you on Facebook and then continue that communication, you know, down the road to get you to come back.
And once they start talking to you, you might be encouraged to ask them more about the business,
right,
and you're getting to know them a little bit better too.
Right.
I think Josh mentioned Foursquare. They announced that they're going to be launching basically a similar coupon service as part of the app in July.
Mm.
And, you know, right now they offer the check-in specials, but I think these are going to be completely separate coupons, just very similar to Facebook offers and Google offers. And I think this is an interesting one just because a lot of the deals and offers and review sites,
mm-hmm,
the biggest kind of gripe is that there's not a lot of personalization and customization of those things. I think,
mm-hmm,
Foursquare has just some awesome data of people that have been checking in for the last 3 years of, you know, to really kind of make a personal experience for you as,
yeah,
a consumer. And
yeah, I think what would be great if it happened now is if Facebook started including maps, sort of take it the other way and their offers to show up on maps when you're walking around and when you check into places.
Yeah, because
that could be kind of interesting. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Like looking at my site, you know, you go out, you don't have an agenda, but if a place pops up and there's a $5 coupon or something like that, or I see that Danielle is my friend on Foursquare, friend on Facebook, and she checks in somewhere, I'm more likely to go check that place out.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do find myself, you know, when I'm in a strange locale, you know how I just like to go out meandering around. I'm going out, leave me alone. But
I got a Google offer, I got to redeem.
Yeah, I got to go.
iPhone and
but
just walk
but
out
I
the
do,
door.
You know, I do find myself using things like, okay, what's in the area? Or I feel like this, and it's like,
yeah,
it does provide some type of incentive to try someplace new or go someplace or choose one place over another. You know, the thing that I wonder about all this is that now everybody's getting into the Google offers, I mean, the offers game. Does it become one of those points where we just start ignoring them again?
Mm-hmm.
Like ads kind of is, you
well,
know?
You know, one of the things about personalization that I don't like is it's not introducing you to anything new. It's just, you know, relying on what you've done before. And yeah, you know, I would love coupons for places I already go, but it's not encouraging me to get outside of that comfort zone.
But I think there is some customization. You know, like look at Foursquare, for example. If I see if Danielle and I are friends on Foursquare and I see her check in at some coffee place that I've never been to, that would be a great offer to pop up for me because we're friends. We both like coffee. I've checked in at a coffee shop. She's checked in at a coffee shop. For that offer to show up for me, I'm more likely to go check that place out, because it's new and my friend has just promoted that to her social network.
And she's already there.
Exactly.
Well, so you touched on something that I was thinking about, which is, so you're in a new locale and you're trying to find a place to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
do you go into Foursquare or do you go to Yelp? Like, what is this? If they, if there continues to be great deals on Foursquare or Google Maps, what happens to a site like Yelp?
Well, it really depends. I think the problem with Yelp is that you and I can have completely different tastes in food. I might think Applebee's is the best restaurant on earth, and I might
and you'd be wrong.
I might think Applebee's is the best restaurant on earth, and I could review them on Yelp and give them 4 stars. There's no scale to that. There's no...
Well, I think that boils down to, I mean, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. Like, you kind of look at who's reviewing, and you kind of make judgments based on...
But with Foursquare or a location-based, you know, app like that, or a kind of a social network, I know those things already. I know Josh, I know Danielle, I know you, I know Azure, and I know the things that you like, so...
Right, yeah, if it's based off...
Instead of the people you don't know on Yelp.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see... Because, I mean, I do go to Yelp to look for new things sometimes, but the thing that I don't like is that it's not integrated in the fact that, like, I can't, if I find a restaurant that I would like to maybe use, I want to look at the menu. Like, I have to go through all these, like, hoops to kind of get that, all that information. It'd be great to just have it, like, all contained, you
and
know?
I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, I think there's a point at which, so two things. One, I think all of these guys offering offers, and I think Yelp offers something similar too.
Yeah, there's you can offer discounts.
Are they forcing, you know, are we all relearning to buy based on price? You know, like, is that dangerous? You know, like, I want to, when it comes to food and beer, like, I'm happy to pay a premium.
Yeah.
You know, so how am I exposed to that information? But I think also, like, how many, it gets back to something we've talked about before, which is how many places can you recreate your network, right? So, you know, all of us are friends on Twitter. I think I'm friends with most of you guys on Facebook, probably on LinkedIn, probably not on Yelp, maybe on Foursquare.
Right.
Like, you know, Dave, you talked about, like, well, you know this network best, but that's always going to be Facebook, so... To me, that's where it gets interesting, is how do these other platforms integrate back into home base, which to me is Facebook.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point, and I think that's really the important thing, right? Is because I think we are getting, like, fatigued with
I'm so
all of these things.
Another login and password.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it.
And, you know, honestly, I think it got to the point where I used to kind of complain about, like, who logs in with Facebook? Like, why would you want to do that?
I do it with everything.
And now it's like, now I find myself actually doing that just because I don't want to deal with
it. I remember Josh said this to me, like, months ago. I remember, like, over this last summer, there was kind of like this, when all these Facebook apps popped up, like, accessing your information, a lot of people were like, I don't want to access it. And Josh was like, I don't care. I accept everything. And I was like, you know what? I guess it doesn't matter. And now I log in with everything through Facebook, and it's just, who cares?
Yeah,
right?
Same way. I don't care.
God knows what they're doing with my information. Right.
It's weird. My bank account is
if it's useful to me, I accept it.
Yeah.
Except for those social readers, those things drive me nuts.
Oh,
I really don't want to know some of the things my friends are reading.
I think that is
a
full podcast for another day.
That's actually a good one. Yeah, social. I'm going to write that down now. Social reader.
We could do a social media pet peeves.
Social.
It's interesting. All the
social
articles that people read, they're very similar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you
they're all about Snooki.
Right. Yeah.
Or Justin Bieber.
Or some wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
But I think just this conversation alone is a good example of, like, the whole integrated marketing approach for small businesses online. We just talked for 10 minutes about, you know, 10 different channels that we're all active on.
1356.
And I think that's the challenge. I mean, when you talk to small businesses, you know, I was out in Chicago meeting with different businesses last week, and, you know, there's only so much we can do as a business, and, you know, we have 1,000 employees, let alone having 5. Right, so how do you make your choices? And I think that's going to vary, but I think some of these things are going to have to, you know, like one of the things that I think Pinterest is really smart about is they started by integrating with Facebook and then Twitter, and then not requiring you to have a new home base. And I think the ones that are going to be successful are the ones that are integrating with the platforms that people already use. So that's why I thought the Google Maps thing was really interesting. But if that's not going to be standard on devices, you know, coming back to that, I wonder just how much people are going to use it.
The people who are into that stuff are going to find it and download it. The people who don't know about it, it's beneficial for them to have it on their phone when they get it.
Right.
Cool. So, bottom line then, I guess Facebook offers. Interesting to see how it's going to develop. Definitely something for businesses to play around with to see if it does anything for them. I think maybe that's just kind of the impetus for everything is really don't be afraid to experiment and try to see what actually works for your business. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how things develop with that.
But I think definitely, you know, if you're using Facebook offers, think about how are you capturing information when people redeem?
That's a big thing. You think long term.
Get them on your email list. Get them to like your Facebook.
Because if you get 100 people into your store because you ran a free dessert deal, but you can't follow up with any one of them, you're never going to turn those guys into repeat business. So
yeah, so that's the key takeaway from that is definitely make sure you're thinking long term and get that information from them. So we're going to move into the Q&A portion of today's Speakeasy. And we've recently had we ran a Facebook webinar with the folks over at Facebook talking about Facebook ads and social campaigns and things like that. And we actually got a bunch of questions, and we wanted to answer some of those questions that we got here today. So the first question is, I am a social media manager of a company, but I take care of the Facebook page from a different country and not the country that the product is being sold at the moment. With regards to creating Facebook ads, who will be the people that will actually see them? And how do you suggest to promote a Facebook page internationally? Thanks. So, interesting question. And I think the thing to understand is that when you create a Facebook ad, is that you're actually going to choose the locations and those different specifications of who you want to see that ad. You don't get to actually see those people, but you get a pool of
people. But you can get really specific about who you want to target.
Yeah, so it's really less about where your business is located or where you do things and more about who you're actually trying to target with those ads. Anybody want to add anything there to that?
I think one of the beauties of Facebook ads is how targeted you can be. I mean, you can get
you can target
the five of us in this room. If we try hard enough. So,
right.
I think that's one of the power of Facebook ads. But you got to think about if you're using Facebook ads, what are you driving them to? What action do you want them to take? So, one of the awesome things is how targetable it is.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes in with the second question is, you know, how do you promote a Facebook page internationally? Is that, you know, clearly you can use the ads to promote your page and just, you know, to garner likes for your specific page the same way you would target with a regular ad to sell a product or whatever. And I think, you know, from there, and again, it's tapping into your existing, you know, resources, right? Look, do you have an email list? Do you have a thing, you know? How can you encourage them to kind of spread the word about you as well? If you're segmenting your list by where they, you know, locale and regions and that type of thing, how do you reach out to them and kind of promote that way?
And you also have to think about your customers too. It might be, you might reach a point where you might need a different Facebook page for different segments, different locations that you sell in. I mean, we've got a UK Facebook page for our UK presence and our regular Constant Contact page for United States. So.
Yeah, and I think that's really going to boil down to what the nature of the product is or the services that you're providing, but that's a good point too.
They might have different needs,
and
it might make them feel more comfortable that your company has a presence on, you know, at least on Facebook in their territory.
Yep, good points. Question two. Greetings from Sylvania. I would like to know whether there is a general guideline to know whether Facebook ads are going in the correct direction. Now, I kind of view this question as going in the correct direction, right? I mean, I think we kind of, there's this idea that ads themselves just rarely don't work. We kind of ignore them. We've learned to know where the ads are, and we've learned to ignore them because they're ads. And I think one of the interesting thing about Facebook ads is this new sponsored stories way they're going with them, which is really less of an ad and more of highlighting activities that people that you know already take in relation to your page or a status update or something that you do. And I think actually that is the great way to go because it's not about purchasing something or doing something. It's about getting somebody new in the door so you can lead them that way. It's like the first step, right? Again, a gateway drug, right? It's like you see your friends interacting and doing things with a particular page, and that's an opportunity for you to say, oh, hey, I kind of like that stuff too. I'm going to like that page. And what happens from there is really up to the business and how they move them along. But I think in terms of, you know, going in the right direction, I think that's the perfect way to go.
I think the great thing about advertising on Facebook is that you have a lot of ways to make it so it doesn't feel like advertising.
Yeah, it feels more like word of mouth than something
well, and,
that's
and really,
paid.
Really what you're doing is you're basically, you know, we know that the average post from a brand only reaches 16% of their fans. So really what you're doing is you're paying to, whether it's a sponsored story or something like that, you're basically just paying to increase the eyeballs that get on that piece of content. So it doesn't look like an ad. It's a great piece of content that you posted, a status that you want everybody to see, a photo that you want everybody to share.
Right.
You're basically paying a premium to increase the eyeballs on that.
I think it's also part of Facebook's push now for businesses to use them to tell their story. And when they introduced Timeline for Pages, a lot of it was, look at all these great tools we're giving you to tell your business's story. I mean, a page like Ford, which I went on the other day, I mean, they've got all these old Model T pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They can tell their story from the beginning.
Yeah.
So all this content, same thing with the sponsored stories.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe the ads is the wrong word because it puts the wrong connotation on it. And I think it's really about, Facebook, it's like a boost of engaging content, right? Don't think about creating an ad. Think about creating a piece of engaging content that is more likely that people will like and interact with and kind of spread out that way.
Yeah, and I think, too, that there's when you're using Facebook ads, you've got a limited amount of text, whether it's a sponsor story or not. So being very clear about the what and why of what you want people to do. I mean, we've seen, for example, people using our social campaigns product, and they really help drive traffic to that page on their timeline by using ads to generate more reach for their message. But they're using that to drive people to the page, to like it, to get an offer, to share it. Right? So it's what's your end goal? Instead of just driving people to your page, what do you want them to do when they're there, and why should they go there? And I think some people who fail with ads, they haven't thought through, again, it gets back to the same thing we're talking about with offers. What am I going to do? Like, what's my plan for these people once I get them there?
Right.
And it's almost like Facebook is a free tool for businesses, and they let you reach 16% of your audience.
Yeah.
If you want to pay a premium, you can reach more people.
Yeah.
So, but again, I think it all comes down to, if you're just starting out on Facebook, running an ad probably isn't the best thing, because you don't want to drive people to a place that doesn't look like home, doesn't look like a community. It's not an active
page. You don't
have
your act together yet.
Right.
Yeah.
There's kind of a certain threshold of when, okay, maybe it's time that I can run an ad. You want to send people to a great, engaging homepage, which, your Facebook page. So.
Right. Well, to say that then, like, just let's add to this a little bit then. Danielle, what would you say some of the ways that maybe something somebody could do right off the bat to maybe make their page look like it's, doing more.
I would say fill out your timeline, add some milestones, some history of your business, and that way there's something at least going on. Add some photo albums, display your product or just your location or even your employees, your resources if you're a B2B, and sort of make it a place where people want to engage with, ask questions.
Cool. And our last question for the day is, I've started a jewelry business and I find it difficult to gain new likers. I've tried engagement techniques such as polls, for example, like which is your favorite product, and never receive more than one or two responses. How can I improve this? Now, this is interesting as I read this, and the example that this listener gives is, which is your favorite product? And I think right away that's a clue as to one of the things you may be doing wrong, is that it's not necessarily about your product all the time. Like, you have to think about what is engaging to the customer and your audience, and it's less about you and more about them. But I would say a jewelry business, I mean, that's a great great visual things there. If you can get some great photos of the things that you're creating or the jewelry that you have, like, that's stuff that would get picked up right away, I think, and shared and commented on, and get a great way to get activity going around there.
Yeah, I mean, the question I would ask back is, how are you promoting your page, and what are the expectations you're setting?
Yeah.
I mean, most likes are not generated just by page activity, right? They're generated by driving people to your page.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree. Like, I think the mistake she's making is a fairly common one, which is to be inwardly focused. Like, I've got all this stuff, what do you like most?
Right.
Right.
Whereas a jewelry business, to me, a better sort of social engaging kind of topic would be, tips around, like, cleaning your jewelry or storing your jewelry.
I think a better poll would be, what products would you like me to feature?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yep.
And the simpler, the better. If it's an open-ended question, I don't think people really want to take the extra time to write even 3 or 4 words when they could just like a post. Like, hey, would you wear this weekend? Like this post. Yeah, like
that's
this
a great point, too.
And
yeah.
it's the whole, like, you know, social media isn't a selling platform. It's a platform to build relationships. And we know that relationships are really, when consumers have a relationship with a brand, that plays a huge role in their purchasing, you know, decision. So
yeah.
If you look at us, right, we're an online marketing company. We rarely talk about our products on our Facebook page, but we talk about marketing topics because we're an expert in marketing, so we're supposed to show that to our fans.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing for the jewelry store. You want people to look at you like a trusted resource in that in that area. And, you know, by not talking about yourself, but talking about the industry as a whole, getting people to like things, you know, you're going to end up building a relationship with people. It's just going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah. And I think another thing for, you know, jewelry business in general is, you know, capitalizing on, obviously, those events that happen. And since we have Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, it's a good tie-in for that, right? Is that, you know, it'd be a great way to, you know, what type of jewelry does your mom like? Or, you know, what would your, like...
Actually, there's tons this year. One of our coworkers, her daughter's going to the prom tonight. Prom's this time of year, graduation. Lots of chances to suggest things.
Yeah, so you're really looking at how does your product fit into the lives of your audience, right? So how can you capitalize, and capitalize is probably a bad word, but you know, how do you get involved in that so that you're part of the conversation, basically, and not just some annoying thing that comes through the news feed?
Yeah.
I think go ahead.
People like to talk about themselves. So if you ask a question like, what's a piece of jewelry that stands out from your childhood or piece of jewelry your mother wore when you were little, they want to tell their story, not just hear yours.
Exactly.
I think one of the cool things about Timeline is it kind of gives you this whole, you know, I've seen a bunch of brands lately that have been changing their cover photo to kind of reflect something current. You stick with your regular profile picture for your, you know, just a smaller icon picture for your brand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm a big golfer. I follow the PGA Tour on Facebook. They change their cover photo every week to be a picture of the event that they're at that week.
Yeah.
So, you know, you land on the jewelry, you land on the page of the jeweler, you know, whatever the word is, jeweler.
Wow.
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Thank God you're on our marketing team.
Thank God. I got away with words, let me tell you. No, and they change. So if you run this jewelry store, you know, change the cover photo to something that has to do with Mother's Day, or it just kind of, when you send people there, it lets you know that this place is populated, it's active, that people care about the page.
And current.
Mm-hmm.
I think current.
Yeah.
I think
that's
one of the important things. Yeah, nobody wants to go to a place that looks like it's a deserted kind of island or something.
Yeah.
So that's all for our show today. We're just going to leave you with a tip from Danielle. But before we do that, just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to any mothers out there listening. And
love you, Mom.
There you go. Anybody else want to throw out
mom
loves?
Yeah,
mom, you're okay.
My mom will
never listen. All you mothers out there, thank you for all you do. And we'll leave you today with Danielle's marketing tip.
All right. My tip today is actually a line that I pulled out from the book Engagement Marketing, our CEO's new book that just came out this month. And it sort of goes along with what we were just talking about. And this quote is, "Don't forget, engaging with people is not a one-way street. If all your audience does is listen to you, then you're not fully engaging them." And that definitely goes along with what we were just saying with the jewelry store.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye now.